Hey friend, welcome to this episode of the Mamahood After Trauma podcast. I am your host, Emily Cleghorn. This podcast is for mamas navigating childhood trauma while also walking through mamahood. Together, we will empower each other to connect with who we were created to be versus who we were told to be in our trauma. I am so excited that you have decided to take some time out of your day today to listen in on the conversation. Let's rise and shine together. Hello, hello, friends. I am so excited to be here with you today. Last week, I went live in my car and had a grand old conversation. Great time sharing 6 ways to honor yourself. Come to find out, you couldn't hear me. So we're going to do this again. So what does it mean to honor yourself? What does it mean? When I think of honoring myself, I think of being aware of my needs, being aware of my emotions, having a sense of self-awareness, and not abandoning that because other people have needs or other things have needs, but fitting into my day ways that I can honor myself and be aware of and nurture the emotions, the feelings, the needs that I have so that I can show up for my family as the best version of myself that I can in any given moment. Okay. So 6 ways that you can honor yourself. Now, as a trauma survivor, if you have been taught that your needs don't matter or you don't matter or anything of that nature, it's hard. Your self-honoring muscle tends to be weaker. I know for myself that my self-honoring muscle was weaker than any muscle physiologically in my body. I had to learn how to identify and be aware of my emotions, my needs, my triggers, all of those things so that I could begin to strengthen that muscle. And these 6 ways, these 6 things that I'm going to share with you today are going to help you to begin to strengthen your self-honoring muscle, if you will. So as a certified health and life coach, I'm going to be speaking to you today based on what we can do from a health and life perspective. So the first way that you can honor yourself is you can make a plan. Okay. So if you are planning a meal, let's say, and you know that certain foods, let's say potatoes, you know that potatoes drain your energy, and you know that staying away from really starchy foods like potatoes that turn into sugar in digestion
really helps you to boost your energy. You feel more energetic when you don't have those really sugary, starchy foods. Does that mean that you are never allowed to eat potatoes ever again? No. Restriction, the restriction mentality does not set you up for success. It sets you up to overindulge in the things that you are restricting. So make a plan. If you know that there are going to be potatoes in a meal or for a meal, then look at the rest of your day or the rest of your meal and plan, make a plan around it. Get a little bit strategic. If you know that a particular activity, let's say laundry. If you know that laundry is a task that is energy depleting, but you know that you have to do it because without clean clothes, you're stuck in dirty ones, right? or no clothes at all. And that is not appropriate in public. So if you know that you need to do laundry and you know that it is an energy sucker for you, but you know that, journaling really fills your cup and gives you lots and lots of energy, look at your day, your week, and strategically plan out. If you have a big family, it might take you longer. Plan out where you are going to put your energy suckers and where you're going to put your cup fillers so that you don't end up completely burned out or really resentful and living in survival mode. Because when you stack energy sucking foods or activities together, you end up not doing the things that you know you need to do to achieve whatever goal it is you've set for yourself. The second way that you can honor yourself is to simply listen to your body. And this is so counterintuitive to, not counterintuitive. It's counterculture, because our society has trained us from a very, very young age that our body doesn't know what it's doing. Our body doesn't know what it needs. It doesn't know what's wrong with it. It doesn't know any of it. However, I am here to say that your body was geniusly created. It knows exactly what it needs, when it needs it, and it is trying to communicate with you through cravings, aches, pains, bloating, other symptoms like that, to get you to listen. And we tend to not listen. So especially as trauma survivors, because we've been trained from a very young age, depending on when your trauma happened, to detach from within and look outward for your feelings, your validation, all of that stuff. So turning your focus from out there to in here really changes things, and it builds your sense of self-awareness so that you are able to heal and learn how to honor yourself. I'm curious, and if you wouldn't mind dropping your answer in the comments, I would so appreciate it. How is your relationship with yourself? On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being you are your own best friend, and a 1 being you're strangers with yourself. You are so disconnected and you don't know yourself. You're scared to know yourself. How is your relationship with yourself? I'm curious, on a scale of 1 to 10. The third way you can honor yourself is to eat. I have on my notes, I have eat/schedule for energy. So let's break that down. So if you are eating for energy, you are eating with the mindset that you are planning your meals based on what you know gives you energy. Okay, so this goes back into the self-awareness piece, because if you do not know what foods give you energy or deplete your energy, this is going to be challenging for you. So you have to listen to your body and notice what foods give energy and what foods deplete energy. And then create a plan, be strategic. I'm not saying that you can never eat the foods that deplete your energy. What I'm saying is you be strategic and place them, scatter them throughout, and they are not the biggest majority of your food. When you're scheduling for energy, so this is more of like your day or weekly plan, and you're planning for energy, you are aware of what tasks give you energy, what tasks take your energy or suck your energy, pardon me, and you are strategic in how you plan out your days, your weeks, your hours, so that you're not doing all of the things that suck your energy all at one time and you end up on the couch binge watching whatever show it is you're watching, Love is Blind, whatever. I don't know what shows are on. I don't have cable. And I've been watching Andy Griffith from the 60s. So there's that. Because when you stack all of the things that take your energy, you're tired, right? So your body starts to, or you are not making the choices you need to make to achieve the goals that you have in mind. The fourth way to honor yourself, this is more specifically directed toward eating for energy, is communicate with your brain. So sometimes, this is what happens. Sometimes when you eat so fast that your stomach says, "Whoa, I'm full," and your brain has not caught up to your stomach because you've eaten so quickly. So you keep eating. Okay, that's where overeating comes in. You keep eating until your brain says, "Okay, that's enough." And your stomach's like, "Whoa, that's too much." Okay, so communicate with your brain. So how do you do this? When you're eating, making a physical notion, like pushing your plate away, communicates with your brain that, okay, I ate and now I'm done. And then the fifth way to honor yourself really goes along with that. So you do the physical motion of pushing your plate away and you say, wow, that was delicious. I'm so full. Okay. And those actions, saying it out loud, pushing your plate away, let your brain catch up to your stomach. Okay. Saying it out loud from a scheduling perspective or a day-to-day life perspective is really practicing saying no. So if you are someone, if you're a mom, you're a someone that I'm talking about, who is asked to do all of the things, and you have a hard time saying no because you're scared of hurting somebody's feelings, you're scared of inconveniencing someone, you're worried about what other people will think. No, mama. If you are unable to say no, those you love most will unintentionally use you as a doormat. Unintentionally, intentionally. That's another topic for another day. But they will use you as a doormat, not because they are, I'm hoping, not because they are ill-intentioned, but because you can't say no. You're scared of saying no. And it's okay to say no. If your plate is full, you are allowed to say, no, I'm sorry, I can't do that right now. And then navigate that situation and work it out with the other person in a respectful way. We're not, heck no, I'm not doing that for you. Go find somewhere else. No, we're not doing that. I mean, no, just be nice. And the sixth way that you can honor yourself is to ask for support. And I recognize that as trauma survivors, we have a hard time asking for help. As humans, we have a hard time asking for help. I've been there. I still go there from time to time. There's so much fear associated that can be associated with asking for help. So you could get your family on board, talk about it with a BFF, say, hey, I'm working on honoring myself and I need you to help me stay accountable. You can join a community that is specifically for trauma survivors who are building their self-honoring muscle. Or there are so many different types of coaches. I am a trauma recovery coach, and the founder of the Mended Mama Society. Right now in the Mended Mama Society, we are walking through the 12 stepping stones to living empowered and calm. And this training today was a small portion of the 12 stepping stones. If you enjoyed what you heard, if you resonated with what you heard, if you want to hear more, if you want more of the stepping stones, I will put a link in the description of this video, in the comments of this video, to for you to join the Mended Mama Society so that you can access the other stepping stones. We are currently, as I speak right now, in April 2023, we are on stepping stone number 4. However, that does not mean that you are too late. Stepping stones 1, 2, and 3 are in the guide section of the community. And these 12 stepping stones are like building a house. So when you're growing up in and you've experienced some attachment trauma, some developmental trauma, whatever you want to call it, whichever stage it was at, your house, the foundation on which you are building your life on, is a little bit crumbly. And it doesn't always align with who you were created to be. And who you were created to be gets locked up in a vault. And it's hard to access that part of yourself because the vault is thick. So the 12 stepping stones come in, and stepping stone number 1 is like laying the foundation. We are building a foundation for the other stepping stones, which build the rest of the house. And by the end, by the 12th stepping stone, by the end of the 12 stepping stones, you will have a springboard for success, for moving towards whatever goal that you have for yourself. If you really want to be a mama who is in control of her emotions and doesn't fly off the handle at any given moment because a kid screeched or whatever, that change is possible with the 12 stepping stones. If you are someone who turns to food when you feel happy, sad, angry, alone, depressed, and you want to stop feeding your emotions with food, you can do that with the 12 stepping stones. And the 12 stepping stones are absolutely free within the Mended Mama Society. So I will put a link for the Mended Mama Society in the comments of this video or in my bio. And you are welcome to join us there. If you have any questions about what I've spoken about, please either comment below or reach out to me. My inbox is always open. And I look forward to sharing more with you over the next coming weeks and months. Have a fantastic rest of your day. And if you know someone who would benefit from knowing these 6 ways to honor yourself, please feel free to share this video with them. Alrighty, have a great day. Smile, friend. You got this.